Life, wrote the great Roman author Cicero, is nothing without friendship. And thus it has been ever since the beginning. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. Looking at Adam alone in the splendor of Eden, God declared, "It is not good for the man to be alone." We humans are hardwired to connect, as someone put it. We need friends, and without them, as St. Thomas Aquinas observed, even the most agreeable pursuits become tedious. Yet in our day, loneliness has been called an epidemic, and friendship a lost art. The results are not only poor psychological and social health, but it has been clearly demonstrated, poor physical health as well. Led by the Wyoming Catholic College faculty, the 2019 Wyoming School of Catholic Thought will use philosophy, theology, literature, poetry, film, the Wyoming outdoors, and the convivial experience of a week together to explore the meaning, the experience, and the practice of friendship from Iliad to Facebook. Professor Kyle Washit, my friend and office mate, was one of our Wyoming School faculty last year and will join us again this year. Professor Washit is our guest this week on the After Dinner Scholar. At the end of all the conversations in Plato's dialogue on friendship, or Lysis, Socrates comments to young boys, "How ridiculous that you two boys, and I, an old boy, should imagine ourselves friends, and yet we have not been able to discover what a friend is." Is friendship really that complicated?
Well, in a way, yes, and in a way, no, I suppose, as it always goes with philosophy. But it is the case that much of the history of Western civilization has been devoted to figuring out what exactly a friend is. We have questions about how does friendship relate to romantic attraction? Is it the same thing? Is it different? Can you be friends with the person you're romantically attracted to? Should you be friends? We have questions about, can you be friends with someone who's more important than you or more valuable to you in a certain way? Can a peasant be friends with a king? What do they share in common? Can a vicious person be friends with a virtuous person? Can a son be really friends with his father? These are questions that at some level we have sort of intuitive gut reactions. We know what friendship is. We feel like, yes, I can be friends with my father. And yet when you ask, well, is the friendship with your dad the same thing as the friendship with your wife? And is that the same thing as the friendship with your poker buddies? And is that the same thing as the friendship with this mentor in your life who's helping you grow in virtue? We quickly get stumped. And so it's trying to articulate all of those avenues that we quickly try to get ourselves turned around, saying exactly what is this thing that everyone says is so important, but when I try to explain it, I get, like Socrates, all turned around.
So is it one of those things that we know it when we see it?
Well, Aristotle will say not even so. That sometimes we will claim what we think is friendship, and it's really not. You know, we'll talk about people will be, and we have this experience, right? People will be in bad relationships or have what we will see as bad influences as parents. As our kids get older, we can think of this sometimes, right? And we don't want them hanging out with this person, or we don't want them doing this thing. And they'll say, but that's my friend. And Socrates and Aristotle would say, really? Because in the classical tradition, friendship is a kind of virtue. And so in that sense, if friendship's a kind of virtue, a kind of perfection of what the human person is, then the idea of bad friend is a kind of oxymoron. And yet, history is filled with all sorts of testaments to, that's my friend, and this is an important friendship in my life. So, do we see it? Do we know it when we see it? Maybe not.
What authors beside Plato and Aristotle have talked about friendship?
The Stoic tradition doesn't spend a ton of time on it. It comes up a little bit, the focus on friendship. Cicero will talk about friendship especially. And beyond that, though, we're going to see that the Christians really pick up on the questions that Plato and Aristotle are asking. Specifically, they start asking a question that Aristotle dismisses. Aristotle says it's impossible to be friends with a god. And after the incarnation, the Christians spend an awful lot of time thinking about, is that really the case? In fact, am I not a friend? In the Gospel of John, our Lord says, I have called you friends. And so church fathers, St. Gregory the theologian, St. Basil the Great, will talk about friendship with God and friendship with Christ and what Christian friendship means. St. Thomas Aquinas, following Aristotle, St. Nicholas Cabasalis, all talking about sort of the Christian implications of friendship. More recently, C.S. Lewis is going to return to that big picture question and talk about how does friendship relate to affection, relate to romantic love, relate to Christian charity? Can we identify those one to the other? And so in general, we have this huge theme. Kant himself is going to ask about friendship in the question of, can you do something for your friend if it makes you feel good? Is that really an act of friendship? And so even in modern philosophy, we'll see people getting twisted around, turned around, because as Aquinas will say, and this seems to be echoed throughout the history of thought, friendship's at the root of ethics and at the root of politics. And so as we start thinking about what is the family, what is the political unit, what is ethical life, anyone that's going to think about that is in the end going to have to think about friendship.
Now, is this somehow different than thinking about love?
Yes and no, right? Again, love's a big word, right? So C.S. Lewis, when he writes his book, The Four Loves, is going to try to think through, when I say I love my dog, I'm clearly using the word love differently than when I say I love my wife, or at least we hope.
Yeah.
So in one way, yeah, friendship seems to be bound up with a really fundamentally deep part of love for in the human person. But we want to say that clearly I'm able to have this kind of love of friendship that's different from romantic love. And the other thing we're going to note with friendship is that it not only is it sort of an activity of love, which we might think of, but it's, as I said, it's a habit of virtue, a disposition we have. Aristotle will say there's different kinds of friendship dispositions, a friendship where I share the joy of doing things, the pleasure of doing things with my hockey buddies, the friendship that I have when I'm polite to the mailman, when he drops off the mail and he and I chat or I talk to the cashier, and then the friendship I have when I'm sharing virtue. And there's a way in which that habit, there's a real love, a real affection, but it goes beyond that. It goes to the kinds of things I'm doing with my friends, and explaining how that relates is another one of those complications of friendship.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that I've had friendships that have been close friendships, but they've been office friendships.
Right.
When I moved jobs, well, we were still friends, but were we?
Right. Well, you know, when I was growing up, we always left a little chocolate box for the mailman. We moved, didn't have the mailman, never saw him again, but we'd exchange Christmas cards. We had a very, as you said, a very friendly relationship. But once we don't have him being the mailman anymore to share, there's not an occasion for us to share that friendship that was really there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about literary works? Have you thought about authors that have a knack for talking about friendship? And let me start by saying that you directed a thesis, and I'm the second reader on J.R.R. Tolkien. So I've, as a result, I've gotten back. I'm reading the Lord of the Rings again, and the theme of friendship is just all over the place.
And I think that's true for much of great literature. Certainly in Tolkien, this great thesis I directed, the student was thinking through the friendship between Sam and Frodo as like the central motif. In fact, the heroism motif of The Lord of the Rings. We, going further back, certainly the story of David and Jonathan in Scripture is a central image that's going to inspire artists and poets to meditate on that friendship between them. We read with the freshman last semester Gilgamesh, one of the earliest epics in the history of mankind, and that centers on the question of friendship between this wild man and Kindu and this sort of tyrannical king at the beginning, Gilgamesh, and how they become friends and what that means. The Iliad is founded on a central motif, is the friendship of Achilles and Patroclus. Beyond that, Shakespeare is going to play with the question of friendship a lot. In some sense, the question of can a virtuous person be friends with a vicious person as he plays Henry V off Falstaff and asks us to really think about what that relationship is. In general, I think we could ask if there's a great work of literature that's moved us, it's very often going to be the case that if we think about it more, there's some key friendship that forms the axis of the action, so to speak. Jane Austen's Emma is going to reflect there explicitly on what's the relationship between the friendship and romantic love? And can you build a romantic love off friendship? Seems to me it's just something that great literary authors are going to meditate on all over the place.
Well, what benefits can we derive from studying, in a sense, in an academic setting about friendship?
Well, we'll say two things. It seems to me concretely, going back to our question about friendship is something I know when I see it, studies are saying that modern society is a very lonely society. There was a recent article I read talking about millennials who were, on the one hand, sort of deeply disturbed by all of the non-politically correct humor in the sitcom Friends, but at the same time were attracted to this idea of going to the same coffee shop with this same group and sharing life together and just marveling at that. Same with Cheers, the idea of a bar where everyone knows your name. That there's a lot of absence of friendship in our daily life. A lot of replacing a friendship with cyber communications, with moving around, with not sharing life in the same way. Now, if Aquinas is right that friendship and associations of friends are the basis of a political society, the loneliness of modern society bodes really poorly for the future of political life. And so in that sense, spending some time looking at great examples of friendship, asking the questions of what does it mean to truly be a friend, hopefully will jumpstart and reinvigorate something that seems to be deeply missing in society as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of are some of the other barriers to friendship today?
So we've talked about one, the partly being a friend, you have to share life together. So moving around as frequently as we do in our mobile society makes it difficult to have that shared life. Now, we keep communication through Facebook and email and the rest, but we're already using friend here in a stretched sense. I might stay in touch with my Facebook friends, but my sharing of life with them really is limited. Like, we like each other's photos, and that's about as far as it goes. So I think just the mobileness of society makes it hard to have that stable, sustained friendship of growing up in your same town and the way that maybe was envisioned, certainly when Homer's visioning the friendship between Achilles and Patroclus. The other key is the lack of leisure time. One of the things that Pieper, Aristotle, others will stress is that an essential point of friendship is that you're sharing true leisure. You're sharing a life outside of work about things that matter more than just getting the office done. And most of us are very busy and don't have the time to spend talking about books or growing in virtue or just doing fun things with our friends that are rejuvenating and deeply worshiping together, etc. So I think those two obstacles, plus the third one, we'll say, is just people don't know what relationships are supposed to be like. We grew up with models of what friendship is from our parents' friendships with their friends and with each other. And as those kind of friendships break down, as those people aren't making it a point to share life together in those ways, people growing up don't see those models and as a result don't even know what to shoot for when it comes to the question of friendship.
All of which points to a very relevant and important Wyoming School of Catholic Thought this year.
Absolutely.
If you'd like to join a room full of new friends and discuss the nature of friendship, join us this June 9 through 14 here in Lander for the annual Wyoming School of Catholic Thought. Learning activities will include readings, lectures, seminars, panel discussions, films, and time to consider and practice what we're learning. A chaplain will be available for daily mass, spiritual direction, and confession, and two afternoons are set aside to enjoy Lander and the beautiful Wind River Mountains. For more information or to register, visit our website, wyomingcatholic.org. Oh, and by all means, plan to bring a friend. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.